I'll always remember a scene that took place at my sister's wedding over 3 decades ago. My aunt was upset that her father's sister was invited and present at the family wedding, and she started railing to me, saying, "That woman is a thief. She stole our father's inheritance." And I, being a foolish young man, tried to argue with her and tell her it was not true. I learned my lesson that day, not to engage in those types of conversations, especially at happy events. So what happened was, my other aunt, who saw us in discussion, came over and said, "Come on now, let's refocus on why we are here, the celebration of Suzanne and Jerry's matrimony." And I remember that because of the teaching of Jesus today in the gospel about greed. Greed can rear its ugly head in any family and at the most inopportune times, like weddings and, in my experiences, funerals. In the gospel, Jesus refuses to arbitrate a family dispute over possessions. In essence, he was counteracting a common belief of Judaism at that time that a sign of God's favor was wealth and prosperity. I know and hear that some Christian people today believe that's the case. But Jesus never said that. In fact, he said the opposite a few chapters earlier in the Gospel of Luke. "Blessed are the poor." If I look at that question that the man asked Jesus, he was really asking for justice, for the fairness in the family situation to come out. "Tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." To me, that seems like a reasonable request that we seek justice. I do believe that these are important virtues to seek in society. Justice is a virtue of the Christian life. But Jesus knows the human heart. He addresses the man at a deeper level and, in essence, the crowd. "Take care to guard against all greed." Greed is a selfish and excessive desire for more of something, such as money or possessions, than what is really needed. So an individual must ask him or herself, "Do I really need this that my heart is desiring? Why? Is it going to make me feel better or equal in the eyes of other people?" And this topic of sibling rivalry goes all the way back to the story of Cain and Abel. When Cain kills his brother Abel because his father favored his brother over him. So greed can also be an excessive desire for love and attention. An important skill in the spiritual life is to become self-aware, to know yourself, to know when feelings arise, when you react to something, which is normal. So it is normal to feel jealousy rise up in us when we feel slighted or less than another person. Greed can also rise up in us because we feel that a particular thing or money will be able to satisfy us, make us happy in essence. But truly, Jesus gets at the fact that what pleases God, and really what pleases us, is to know that we are the beloved of God, no matter who we are or what we have. The parable focuses on the truth that earthly things, as good and wonderful as they are not the most important things in life. Loving relationships are the wealth and richness that God desires from us. One of the things that I learned in the Engaged Encounter Retreat movement is something called an emotional bank account. And it says that loving relationships are built on trust. So different things that we do or say can either build up trust or tear it down. By proactively doing things that build trust in a relationship, we make deposits in our emotional bank accounts. I think of it this way. The two greatest commandments are to love God and to love our neighbor. And that's what matters most to God. And we do this in concrete ways when we build trust in our relationship with God by praying daily, reading the Holy Scriptures, celebrating the Mass, adoring the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, praying the Rosary and praying other devotions, not out of an obligation or a routine, but out of love, a desire to build up our relationship with God. In a similar way, we can be proactive in doing positive things for our neighbors, starting with people in our family. Simple things build up our emotional bank accounts. When they come home and you are there, greet them. Really listen when they want to tell you something. Don't interrupt and don't be distracted by something on your phone. Spend time with them like a child, playing a game or cooking something with them. Attend activities with people that you care about. Be kind and patient. And another example is, of course, apologize when you make a mistake. To do these types of things is what I believe is to be rich in what matters most to God.